Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are few theaters, I would argue, of the war for the free world that are arguably more important to the security of the United States and yet, well, more taken for granted than our naval power and the capacity that we have long enjoyed to project power over the world's oceans and to ensure trade through those waters. A man who has long understood the importance of American sea power and who has worked tirelessly both in the United States government for decades and in subsequent years as a very influential figure in the world of Washington think tanks is our guest for this full hour of very special conversation. He is Seth Cropsey. Today he is the director of the Center for American Sea Power with the Hudson Institute, but he has served in the past as an assistant to the Secretary of Defense and as the Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy, among other roles, involving the understanding and the application of sea power. He is the author of several important books on the subject, Mayday, The Decline of American Naval Supremacy, and also Sea Blindness, more recently, How Political Neglect is Choking America's Sea Power and What to Do About It. Seth Cropsey, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you so much for taking a full hour to discuss these important issues with us. It's high time we do a stocktaking in all of these areas.
Frank, it's a pleasure.
I'd like to start, Seth, if I could, with just sort of the introduction to Sea Power 101. Why is it of such importance to a nation we call ourselves sometimes an island nation, flanked by two or three very important bodies of water, that we be able to exercise not only naval power, but naval superiority?
The answer is really quite simple, and you pretty much said it. This is a maritime state. We're bordered by the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Caribbean. Our international commerce is born 90%, close to 100% is born by sea. And if we're not able to control the seas, or the seas are controlled by states that are hostile to us, it has a direct and profound impact on our economy. And the same thing applies to our security. The places where conflict has come from, beginning with our war for independence, Revolutionary War, and extending up to today, has been across the seas, in Europe, in Asia. So our ability to deter, or if necessary, to fight in these theaters and protect the country at a distance depends upon the power to project force. And that comes from sea power, from the Navy and Marines.
That idea of fighting elsewhere is seemingly so self-evident. I remember, though, many years ago now, Seth Cropsey, that I was asked to participate in a debate with the Libertarian Society of Washington, D.C., and they do these things very formally, as you probably know, and they propounded a resolution that we should debate, and the resolution went something like this, that there should be a constitutional amendment barring the use of American military power except for the purposes of protecting the borders of the United States. And I thought at the time this was so absurd. Wouldn't you rather make sure that you're dealing with hostile threats elsewhere rather than inside the United States or at best at its borders? And this is, of course, fundamental to the idea of sea power. And yet you've written in your newest book, Sea Blindness, about the fact that we are witnessing the sustained effects of political neglect. I'd like to, before we get into some of the manifestations of that, though, talk a little bit with you, Seth Cropsey, about the kinds of dangers that we are evidently sea blind to at the moment. Talk, for example, about arguably the most important of those emanating now from communist China.
Well, Frank, the Chinese have been turning their coastal navy into a blue water fleet for the past 25 or 30 years, with their military budget increasing by double-digit figures consistently each year for that time. So they're building, China is building a large, modern naval fleet with submarines, surface ships, aircraft carriers now, naval aviation based on the mainland. And their ships have sailed all the world's oceans. They've made ports of call in the Mediterranean, in the United States itself, in the Caribbean, in Europe. So they're developing their ability to project power at a distance. At the same time, they have a very clear focus on establishing the international waters of the South and East China Seas as territorial waters of China. And that engages American interests directly, because we have, as Thomas Jefferson understood when he changed his mind about projecting force and building a navy, we have an interest, an economic interest, and a security interest in being able to use the ocean, the international waters of the world, for security and for trade. So China is out there on all fronts, and during the time from the end of the Cold War, when we had about 600 ships in the fleet, to today, it's diminished. The size of the fleet has diminished to about 276 ships.
I want to come back to it, needless to say, but just staying with the South China Sea for a moment, one of the things that I've been struck by, Seth Cropsey, is the extent to which, in addition to what you've described in terms of the buildup of their fleet and their concomitant ability to project power, is that China is now occupying physical territory in those waters with a degree of an ability to deny us certainly the latitude we've previously enjoyed to operate there ourselves. Talk a little bit about these islands that they've manufactured and the fortification of them and what that does to the correlation of forces.
Well, I think the Chinese, as usual, are playing a long ball game over a period of time. And what they've done is the South China Sea is not a deep water area for the most part. And so there are shoals and reefs around them. They've just built them up into islands and put airstrips on some of the islands and armed them. If in a conflict today, with the balance of forces as it is right now, those islands would go away very quickly if there was a conflict between the United States and China. And not because China willed them. It was because we had a superior force. But when I talked about long ball game, they're thinking about, the Chinese are thinking and acting about establishing claims, about establishing territorial bases, putting military in there, creating a precedent, and pushing that diplomatically and by legal means and by illegal means, that over a period of time, I don't expect this to happen tomorrow. We'll make it, we'll turn that, those international waters into territorial waters.
Yeah, and possibly keep out zones. We have to pause for just a second. Seth Cropsey will be right back with more, with the author of Sea Blindness, How Political Neglect is Choking American Sea Power and What to Do About It, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.